Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you never know. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where you'll face.
Thank you.
Good evening, folks. This is Brother Ventura here. Dr. Ventura, Sound Doctoring from Nathan on the Spot. Nathan's got us on the spot tonight. Subject of this program is the New World Order. The New World Order. I have with me Brother Raymond and my co-host, and I also have Joseph Gibson, Brother Joseph Gibson, a Christian man. And we're going to kind of talk about the New World Order tonight and see what the Lord will do. Our text is going to be out of the book of Daniel, so if you're following along, you go over to chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. And we appreciate you coming with us. We just want to welcome the listeners around the world. Somebody's got background noise pretty heavy, fellas, so you have to watch your microphones, your telephone. We're kind of all patched in here together. Our main line was down. And we just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to come here tonight to join the our co-host and our guest and the listeners. And we're going to start off with a prayer. I have a Christian brother, a young man with me, who has a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, Jose Alvin. He's going to open us up with a prayer. Brother Jose.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful evening, and we want to thank the speakers. We want to bless them. We want to thank you for all that you have done. We want to hope that we can all learn more about you, Lord, and hope that we all have a good night, a good life, and Jesus loves you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Always good to see a young man with a heart for the Lord. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to go over to the text down in Daniel. I'm going to pick it up probably about, let's go back to, I'm looking at my text here. I think we should start at verse 31. And Nebuchadnezzar had a vision, and in this vision there was a statue, and it consisted of gold, silver, brass, and iron. And so these were kingdoms. The scripture reading for tonight and starts in verse 31, says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet," excuse me, "that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the golden broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." And Daniel went on to tell him that this is a dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. And Daniel is a type of the Holy Spirit here. He's going to interpret God's dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, the Holy Spirit who truly interprets our scriptures for us, and we compare scripture with scripture. Verse 37 says, "Thou, O king," speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, "art a king of kings," and that's small k, not to be confused with Jesus Christ, the true king of kings. "For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given into thine hand, and has made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass and clay and silver and gold, and the great gold has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, it's sure, and the interpretation thereof is sure. You can count on it. Amen. And so Daniel brought forth what this was, these kingdoms, and this we get down from, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and these were the empires that existed and would have existed after Nebuchadnezzar. And so when we get down to the bottom of the statute, we notice some things. We notice that the legs are split. And the legs are split for a reason, because they represent the kingdom of Rome or the Roman Empire. It starts off with the golden head, and the golden head is King Babylon's empire. And then the next is silver, which represented the Media-Persian Empire, which started in 538 to 529 B.C. when Cyrus conquers Babylon and he leaves Darius there, and that's Darius the First to rule Babylon. And then we go down to the next part, which is brass, which is the Grecian Empire, 330 to 100 B.C., and you know, the date depends when you begin the Roman Empire. Some say 150 B.C., and Daniel 8:21, but this represents Alexander the Great. That's the brass. And then you go down to the Roman Empire, which is represented by iron, 100 to 500 A.D., and Theodosius was the last emperor to rule over a united Roman Empire. And after 395 AD, you have a divided Roman Empire with emperors ruling from the East and the West kingdoms, Constantinople and Rome. And then we get down to these 10 toes of Daniel 2:42. And it is not per se another kingdom, but what it really is, it's a confederation of the states of Europe. And it represents the revived Roman Empire, a continuation of the Roman Empire. And you notice there's 10 toes. And the number 10 in the Bible is the number of the Gentiles. When you get down to Genesis chapter 10, you find the genealogy of the Gentiles. When you get to Acts chapter 10, you find the first salvation of a Gentile. So 10 is the number of Gentiles. And Gentiles are, you find out about the Gentile nations of the world in Genesis 10. And so the first Gentile gets saved in Acts. So the biblical number 10 is a number which represents the Gentiles. And we count by tens. God counts by sevens, and we count by tens. We go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then we start 11, which is a 1. And so this is what we have here. And at some point, there's a division in those legs, which we know happened. And we talked about that last emperor was Theodosius, and he ruled 395 A.D. And you move over that divided empire. But there is something, one other thing we need to cover. One other thing we must understand is that something else about this 10 toes. In verse 43 of Daniel 2, it says, "Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay." Miry clay. Man is made of clay. But this particular clay is miry. And it's miry because this particular clay is mixed with something. And notice he says the mixture is they. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. With the seed of men. And so in order to fully understand that, I have to take you to Genesis 6 and verse number 13. And then we'll, let me go back there. I've lost my place here. And what I want to show you is that there are demonic forces that are involved. It's Genesis 6:13, and there are demonic forces involved with this confederation of states or this revised Roman Empire. Verse 13 said, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them." Through them. Well, them were, when you get back over to Genesis chapter 3, where they mixed themselves, I believe it's 3, and you find that the angels came down, and, you know, then God brought the flood. And they mixed with the, you know, the sons of God took the daughters of men. And I know there's a lot of people teaching some stuff out there that, you know, they were the seed of Satan. But, you know, if you study Job out, you'll find out that there was a day when the sons of God came before the throne of God and Satan came with them. And so what we're talking about here is we're talking about this kingdom. We've gone through history. We've come to the period of time that we are now. If you followed us through 7 weeks of study, we got to the Laodicean church age. And the Laodicean church age is the last church age before the rapture of the saints of Jesus Christ, the saved body. And so we're down to those 10 toes. And those 10 toes represent this new world order. This new world order. Now, Ban Ki-moon from the United Nations has said that we should not be teaching our children jingoism. We should not be teaching the children in the United States of America to be nationalists, but we should teach them to be world community children. And he said, and be it man or the devil, these are his words, not mine, be it man or the devil, you can read it in Human Manifesto 2000, be it man or the devil, whoever can solve the problem will accept them. Well, maybe that's a prophecy, just like Nicodemus spoke, and he didn't know what he was speaking at one time, that one man should die for Rome. So here we are. We have Brother Joseph with us and Brother Raymond. Brother Raymond, how are you this evening? Brother Joseph?
I'm here.
You're here,
I'm
Brother
here.
Joe? I don't know. I lost Brother Raymond somewhere.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure everybody's here. We set some parameters. You know, this is a subject that can be very intense, and I know our listeners are interested. There's quite a few people that have expressed an interest in this particular program, along with our other programs. And so we want to take we'll run it up to about 6:30, and we'll take a little break for a minute, and we'll give out some information. However, if Brother Joseph we would like to, as our guest, we'd certainly like to hear from you, and we'd like to hear what you have to say about this new world order and the position that you believe Christians should be in.
Well, you know, this new world order, it's forming right before our very eyes, and a lot of people, you know, they say seeing is believing, but like, you know, I always say people are seeing, but they're not believing. And I think as Christians, we should be very concerned about the New World Order, and pastors should be teaching their churches, the people in their churches about the New World Order and preparing themselves for this New World Order. Now, whatever stance you have, you know, if you think you're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation and everything's going to be okay and don't worry because it's all part of the Lord's plan, I disagree with that. I believe that we should be very concerned and we should be worried about it. And as Christians, we should take a stand, especially in the United States. You know, I don't know where you stand on that, Peter. You know, that we may have a difference of opinion. You know, I believe that we're going to be staying through the tribulation, and I believe we'll be here all through the tribulation till the last half hour of the tribulation, and as it states in the book of Revelation. And you know, what's your stance on that point? How do you figure that we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation?
Well, my position is that I'm going to take a biblical stance from the King James Version, from the King James Bible, and I don't like to call it a version because it is the Bible and the Word of God. And the Word of God says that the children of God are not pointed onto wrath. And so what we have is we have a lot of men who are out there calling themselves preachers and teachers who haven't even been called by God. You know, some men went and some men were sent, and they're unable to compare Scripture with Scripture. And they've taken Matthew, and they've taken Revelations, and they've taken Hebrew, and they want to make a doctrinal application of things that the Lord spoke about, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there is the rapture of the church, and then there's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when the rapture of the church happens, it happens at the end of the church age. And when you study the church ages in the book of Revelations, at the end of the Laodicean church age, then you have the rapture. Scripture says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, this is after the Laodicean church age. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And then, you know, John's a type of the New Testament church, and there he appears before the Lord in the tribulation and not in the first half. You have to understand the tribulation runs 7 years. And there are two timelines in this Bible, and you can get screwed up if you're not studying it correctly. There are two timelines, and one of the timelines was we're going from, you know, the Old Testament, and we're coming to the period of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so the Jews should have accepted Christ as their Savior and should have gone immediately into the tribulation for 7 years. It was the Jewish nation or the nation of Israel that God had chosen to bring forth the word of God to bring people to God. Well, because the Jews have rejected that, we fall back to the second timeline. And the second timeline is that when they reject Jesus Christ inserts, God inserts this period of time which you and I call the church age. But at some point of this dispensation, like all dispensations, it ends in a judgment.
Now, okay, every who's going to be forced to take the mark during the tribulation if the mark of the beast? Okay, who's going to be forced to take the mark if all the Christians are gone?
Well, there'll be people preaching Jesus Christ, but you're back under the law. You know, in the Old Testament, if you were if you wanted to get saved, you had to follow Judaism. You had to follow Judaism. Now, why did they call it Judaism? Well, not because they were Jews. It was Judaism because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was going to come from the tribe of Judah. And so they had to get circumcised and follow the law. And after that, Christ went to the cross. Well, the veil in the temple was ripped in twain from top to bottom. Man could now walk into the presence of God without a priest and submit himself to the Lord. And so he was saved by faith and grace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We saw that's a type in the Passover. So when the church is raptured out, we're back under the law. Because the scriptures say it was a shadow of things to come. So those who are refusing to follow Antichrist are those the ones who will not take the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Let me ask, Brother Raymond, what's your stand there, brother?
Mark of the beast?
Well,
I think you're
Joseph
absolutely
said
right.
No,
I'm talking about the Christians going through the tribulation. I think that Paul even talked about the times of the Gentiles. I think there's a cup of the Gentiles, and when that runs over, that's it. The church is gone. I mean, I think it's a very biblical thing. I also think that in every reference to the second coming or the tribulation, you see, and I'm talking about the revelation, there's always a Jewish connotation to it. Either Jesus is talking to the Jews, or it's referred to as Jacob's trouble, or it's always talking about a remnant of Jewish people. And so I think that, you know, the Lord, you know, Paul said that the natural vine was cut off, and we are grafted in. And I think that there's so much evidence to say that it has to do with the nation of Israel that, you know, I can't argument against it.
Well, Paul also says rejoice during your tribulation. And, you know, what kind of tribulation is he talking about there? Is he talking about what, because you got into a car accident today? That's your tribulation?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what
Jesus
kind of tribulation
said,
is he referring to?
Yeah, Jesus
said getting into a car accident would want me to take the mark of the beast during that terrible time. Because it's not...
Well, technically, you already have the mark of the beast. You're not being forced to use it. You're born with the mark of the beast. The day you're born, you're issued a birth certificate, and on that birth certificate is a series of numbers. Okay? You are a human resource. Okay? If anyone who has a copy of their birth certificate, okay, if they were to research the red numbers on the right-hand corner, I believe they're on the right-hand corner, there's a series of numbers. If you go to any stock office and look up those numbers on that birth certificate, you will see that you're being traded, you, the human body, okay, as a commodity on Wall Street today, okay? Now, what these churches that are 501c3 church. Excuse me?
How do you think they do accounting? You think they do it by title of stock? What if there's duplicate titles? How come that can't be a serial number of the stock, and it's just coincidence that it matches a birth certificate?
Listen, let me explain something to you. I had a friend of mine who was able to crack the code, okay, the money changer's code of this birth certificate and Social Security number thing, okay? And he was able to get the forms, because you have to have the proper forms, contact the United States Treasury Department, cash in his birth certificate, okay, and renounce his United States corporate citizenship, okay? And let's put it this way. Some men came to his home and told him to stop, or they were going to kill him and his entire family. And we get back to the churches today. You know, these 501c3 churches that are basically committing idolatry with the state. Okay, they're in bed with the state. I don't understand how, where this coincides. You know, this is where a disagreement comes between a lot of myself and a lot of pastors. They're in bed with the state, and they preach this Romans 13. We have to cooperate with the government, and all this, and that's not really the true meaning of Romans 13. But we don't have that. That could be another subject at another time. However, this is all part of the New World Order and its plan. And you see what's going on today in the United States with the government shutdown, and this could be the beginning of the one world currency that they're going to be coming out with. And, I disagree with Brother Peter on his doctrinal standpoint there about the tribulation and the rapture, and I believe that we are going to see the new world order, and the Antichrist is going to overcome the saints. And that's just what it says in the book of Revelation. And then we're going to be raptured out of here, and God's wrath during the last half hour of the tribulation will be poured out. Yes, we as Christians are not appointed on to wrath, but it doesn't say anything about tribulation.
Can you answer why after chapter 4 of Revelation is the church no longer mentioned until the new,
we can dissect the book of Revelation, but, like Peter says, rightly dividing the word of God. But, what? I don't understand your point. Why isn't that mentioned? I don't know.
Well, that's because what follows is the tribulation, and the church is not there. So what's there to say?
What church? What church is not there? I mean, if the church is not here,
Jesus Christ, the body. The body of Jesus Christ.
So what saints, what saints is the Antichrist going to overcome during the tribulation if all the Christians are gone? That's what I just don't understand. If millions of people are going to be raptured out of here.
Isn't a saint a sanctified person?
Did a Jew get sanctified?
Didn't they have sanctification ceremonies?
Peter just
Didn't
said we're under the law.
The offerings?
Peter just said we're back under the law during the tribulation. Peter just said we're back under the law.
Yes.
What about Old Testament saints? And the Bible talks about Old Testament saints. I mean, those words.
Yeah, there are Old Testament saints. And Brother Ray's correcting that God says precious in his sight in the Psalms is the death of his saints. And so there are Old Testament saints. So we say saints, we can't just roll into the New Testament. A saint is somebody who's sanctified, set apart for the Lord's use. And so that's what a saint is. This canonicalizing that Catholicism, that Roman Catholicism brought into the world, that's something that's not biblical. But you have to understand something. The tribulation and the meaning of tribulation is that Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. We have tribulation every day. If you're living for Jesus Christ and you're living a sanctified, holy life, you'll be persecuted every day by people who will stare at you and laugh at you and reject you. And that's the tribulation he's talking to. But the tribulation in the context, you have to take words in his context. When Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and he's going to tell you, all that I've done, you have to take the context. All in that context does not mean all, because he's not going to tell him how much, how many tissues he needs to wipe his nose. I mean, he's going to give him all the pertinent information. And what you read in Deuteronomy, the Lord says to Moses, he tells him to tell the nation of Israel that they're going to backslide. They're going to get away from me. They're going to fall away from me. But this is what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to sing. I want you to teach them this song so that when they're in tribulation, somebody's making a lot of racket. When they're in tribulation in the last days, when they're in tribulation in the last days, well, I'd say that background noise can kill somebody's spirit quick. You know, detracts from the Holy Spirit.
I heard it also when I was speaking.
All right, you have to be careful because you know these microphones are good in these phones and the microphones themselves and it picks up everything. You know, we had my cat in the area last week, and he was meowing. You know, you pick that up, you'd be surprised. We don't have noise condensing. These are live broadcasts. But the Lord told Moses, you know, go and teach the people this song. I know they're going to backslide. I know they're going to get away from you. But in the last days, when they're in tribulation, the last days, that they'll remember this song. And when they remember this song in their tribulation and their oppression, then their hearts will turn back to me. So you have to take the context of tribulation, and you have to be able to rightly divide the word of God. A comma in this Bible can separate a thought by 2,000 years. Isaiah, and I want to give you an example because, brother, I want you to understand that you have to rightly divide this word of God. If you cannot rightly divide the word of God.
But what you're saying, though, is we as Christians, living in the age of grace, we have nothing to worry about. We shouldn't concern ourselves with a new world order that's coming. Don't worry about with worldly
advances
because there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Okay, let me answer that, Chief. Let me answer that from my perspective. And I'm not going to speak for Brother Raymond. And Brother Raymond is well-versed on this. What I'm going to say is this. As a Christian man or woman or child going through this world, I am a sojourner in this world. I am not to be part of the world. I am to come out from among the world. The world is going to go in the direction that God has prophesied it would. We are in not evolution, but devolution. We're on our way down. There's no turning back. It must come. You cannot stop the New World Order and its agenda any more than you could stop John the Baptist from showing up to preach Jesus Christ in the wilderness. So my position as a Christian man is that I'm to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the three great commandments. The first one that I'm supposed to do is recognize creation. That's the first mandate, that God is the creator and we didn't evolve. The second is the Great Commission. I'm to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the kingdom I belong to as a Christian man or a Christian woman or a Christian child. And then number three, I'm to love my neighbor as myself. Okay, so if I'm spending listen, I should be aware that there is a new world order coming. I should be aware that, you know, we're seeing the shadow of Matthew where he talks about the end times and what the great tribulation will be. And if I'm seeing those shadows, but nowhere in your Bible are you told to look for the rapture. We're not Millerites. We're not going to be on the roof. We're not Harold Campings, and we're not going to do those things. But we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We get
okay,
to
are we
Jesus.
Serving the Lord of Jesus Christ?
Finish, brother.
Are we serving the Lord Jesus Christ, our 501c3 churches, when we walk into the money changer's den? Okay, we know what Jesus did to the money changers. Okay, the only time he used force in his entire ministry, he whipped them. Okay, but we walk into the money changer's den, any bank, I'm not going to name any specific banks, but any bank you walk into. Okay, and like I said, I'm not going to get into how they make their money, but one bank, for instance, I was at a bank a month ago, and a guy wanted me to open up an account, and I told him never. And he said, why not? I told him, I says, I know how you make your money. I know what you do with your money, trafficking in narcotics, running slavery rings in Indonesia. You know, it was a big conversation, and the other teller was horrified at these things I was telling her. It's all public knowledge.
Right.
What it is, we have a society that's asleep, and they're brainwashed, and they're walking around like zombies.
Okay, I have one comment, and then I'm going to bring Brother Ray in on that. Now, listen to this. You can't live out what you're saying, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay, because number one, God's told us to obey the authority. Okay, and human government was set up for the purpose to restrain sin. We cannot legislate morals. We can live a holy life. We're to obey the government and those in authority over us until they tell us we can't serve our Lord. and to live.
No, they already are. They already are.
Well,
your tax dollars are already supporting the murder of children, abortion.
Yes, let me finish.
Living the Christian life.
But if you're going to boycott, brother, if you're going to boycott a bank, and you're going to boycott, first of all, the Lord says, "Oh, no man, nothing." So you shouldn't, you shouldn't be in debt anyway. But if you are, you are. But what I'm saying is this: you, in your position and your philosophy, is no different than a rationalist. You cannot live out what you're saying. You stop at every stop sign and you obey the authority. So what you're saying is, I'm God and I'm going to pick and choose what portion of the authority of the government I'm going to obey.
No, I obey common law.
Listen, you know, we understand that there's God's purpose in government when he put Noah on the earth and put government. The purpose of government was to restrain sin, and the highest authority God gave man was the taking of a life. And we get that. We understand that. But it's man's system that is running it. And so there's corruption in it. And we understand that too. Okay? And we should, as moral agents, stand up for what's correct, and we should. Paul says, pray for those in authority. When Paul was accused and brought before Caesar, he said, if I've done anything worthy of death, then I submit to it.
You do not interrupt you, but you just said something very, very key. We should be moral agents. And if we're going to walk around with a Bible in our hand as Christians, and yes, we have to bring people to Christ. That's the most important thing. First, you have to save them. And then what do? After you save them, you have to teach them and nourish them like a baby. You have to raise them and teach them to be good Christian soldiers. And today, I don't see that. In society, in our churches, we don't see that. We're more worried about how much money we're
going
to make.
Brother, Jesus was going in the temple, and Peter said, you know, he asked Peter, you know, do the children of this world pay tithes? You know, he wanted to know. Asked Peter to question Peter, and he showed him the superscription on the coin, and he said to him, you know, whose superscription is this? And Peter said, Caesar's. He said, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. He didn't say, well, you think they didn't have money changers and they didn't have corruption in government then? The Romans were corrupt, and they were stealing the money.
Not to interrupt you again, Peter, we don't have Caesar in America. The founding fathers of this country were obviously very blessed men, and they knew God, and they were saved. And we're watching this country disintegrate because we don't acknowledge the facts and we don't put God first anymore, because we have our materialistic garbage. We have our televisions, we have our cars, we have our jobs, we have to pay our bills, and we don't want to ruin our good name. The founding fathers today, if they were here, they'd probably fought. They'd be in a shooting war with the government. They were very blessed men, and they had God behind them. That's how they were able to come over such great odds, defeating the British Empire. But, you know, today, like you said earlier, we're moral agents as Christians. And if we were, as Christians, really living a Christian life and walking a Christian life like we're supposed to be, instead of worrying about our churches and how big our church buildings are and how many people we can get to fill them and how much money we can bring in, we would probably make a big difference in this country today, and there would be an awakening. And there could be a last awakening if we would get together as Christians and stop arguing about non-essential things and just say, oh, just submit to the government. It's part of the Lord. It's of the Lord. You can't stop prophecy. Well, you just said earlier in your opening, if the Jews would have accepted Jesus Christ, the tribulation would have begun right then and there. Well, we as Christians today in the year 2013 would wake up and start acting like Christians. Maybe we can prolong our life and our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives longer on this earth and not see this new world order form right in front of our eyes, and we can make a better society for ourselves. Yes, it's gone. It's gone right now. But how do we fix it?
I have news for you, brother. When the world went global, that was the new world order beginning. So we can't say that it's starting now. But I'd like to bring Brother Ray into that. Brother Ray, you with me, Brother Ray?
Is Ray still there? Or did he get discouraged?
And he said he keeps losing the signal.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, anyway, so my position, brother, is, and I was going to bring Brother Ray, and he's well-versed in the scriptures. Nathan, if you're listening, you could plug Brother Ray back, and we'd certainly appreciate that. He's lost his signal.
No, I'm back. I'm back, brother.
Oh, okay. What I like, Ray, is, you know, Brother Joe was speaking about, you know, the world system.
I'm sorry,
itself,
brother.
I'm
having technical difficulties.
That's okay. We, you know, we understand. It's a live show. Anything could happen,
so,
believe me.
What was the question again, sir?
Well, the question, it was so much I wanted to bring you in on it because, you know, you and I have had this discussion, and we've had this discussion with other people, and Joe feels that as Christians, you know, we have the authority to prevent a new world order from coming into the world, and that as Christians, we shouldn't be worried about the size of our churches and those type of things, and that we should, you know, stand up for what the forefathers of this country stood up for. You still with me, brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe this. I believe we have civil liberty, and you can do whatever
yeah.
you want, but the Lord's plan is going to be executed and exacted. So why waste your time? Why waste your time preventing a new world?
Yeah, you are breaking up, brother. Well, hey, Brother Joseph.
Yes.
How's your signal? Okay.
My signal is just fine. Well, you know, you said give on to Caesar what is Caesar. Well, we don't have Caesar in America. We have the Constitution. And, yes, this country's been hijacked for a very long time. It happened basically after the Civil War and the Reconstruction Act. And if you know the laws and if you know your history of this country, you know, after the inception of the money changers, the Federal Reserve System and the printing of fake money in the year 1913, and then the money system being crowned a success in 1933 when they put the all-seeing Illuminati pyramid on the dollar bill, we as Christians walk around with that in our pocket every day, not even knowing what it really stands for, and use that money. You know, it eats me up every time I look at it. And if I, as myself, as a, you know, I'm not afraid of my government, and I'm not, and he just said, you have sole liberty to do whatever you want and don't worry about anything. You don't have liberty to do anything. Let me tell you, they can come kick down your front door anytime and snatch you up and drag you off.
Did you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Didn't they do that to the Christians already? And what did the Christians do? They didn't take up an armed revolt. They submitted to the government and they went to execution for the Lord and they glorified Jesus Christ. In fact, it was in the Roman Colosseum when they were marching the Christians in and throwing them into the fire. And to the and some of the Roman soldiers saw that and they jumped in too, believing in Christ.
Well,
if you want to change your community and you want to change the world, you see, you have to bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that changes a man's heart. The world, Satan is the god of this world, and he has that authority. But we are overcomers. Jesus Christ says, we've already overcome. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what you and I are waiting for, the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And if I want to change my neighborhood where I live, and if I want to change the politicians that are in office, then I need to bring men that are Christians to those places. And the way we do that is not through revolution. The gospel of Jesus Christ itself is a revolution. When the Roman soldiers went to arrest Jesus Christ, they said to him, where is he? Why didn't you bring him back? And you know what they said? Never man spake like this man. You see, because Jesus Christ spoke with authority. And his teachings
are
different.
Jesus also
and you
said,
can't legislate. You can't legislate morals. Christians in the United States of America have been marginalized,
and didn't
evil
Jesus,
prevail
didn't,
because
didn't,
good men do nothing.
And didn't Jesus say, "And well, when good men do nothing, evil flourishes"? But didn't Jesus say, "Sell your script and your purse and buy a sword"? What did he mean by
because
that?
Why? Because why? Because because he was talking to them. He wasn't talking about buying the Word of God. And, you know, it's a funny thing you should say that. I received a phone call from a young man yesterday who asked me about the exact same verse over in Luke. And, you know, somebody was preaching that what they were supposed to buy, the sword is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the sword of the Lord. And so what they're doing is they're supposed to go ahead and he says it by the word of God, the Bible. And I said, no, that's not what that's saying. What it's saying is he's talking to Jews. Jesus Christ hasn't even been to the cross yet when he tells them to turn by their swords. Well, the reason is because you're going to have to defend yourself in the tribulation. You're going to have to fend for yourself. And they were supposed to receive Christ and go into the tribulation. He's not talking to a Christian. If you want to know Christian doctrine, you have to read from Philemon's, from Romans to Philemon's. And if it doesn't line up with Romans to Philemon, it's outside of that, then you have to either make a spiritual application to it or a doctrinal application to a different period. This Bible is divided. Your Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation, millennium reign, rapture, revelation of Christ. When you're reading the book of Acts, you're going Old Testament, New Testament. You're going law to grace, you see? And so the problem that we end up with in this whole thing is that people are unable to rightly divide the Word of God. Now, if you're saying, Brother Peter, you're a student, an avid student of this Bible, and as a Christian man, you know there's a new world order, what's your advice? Well, my advice is, for Christians, we know that. Well, we believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I'm going to be raptured out before the tribulation. Now, listen, we know the tribulation is divided into 2 3.5-year periods of time. In the first half, Antichrist shows up as a man of peace. The second half, he shows up as he claims to be God. And that's where we get into that mark of the beast he sets his image up. Okay? I go through life daily preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not copping out. I'm not copping out to it. Do I say my government does everything that's right? Absolutely not. Well, when Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, what he was talking about, give to the government, submit to the government as it's required of you. We're not of this world. We're not taking part of this world. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. And, brother, if you went to Rome tomorrow and you were walking around Italy, you would obey the laws of Italy because you're a guest there. You're a sojourner. And you are a sojourner in the United States of America as a Christian man, and you are sojourning. This is not your home. The only kingdom I'm willing to fight for is the kingdom of God. Now, I'm a patriot. My wife, Mounds, a 20-year Navy veteran. She served her country. She still serves her country today, helping veterans fight for their rights. I'm a Navy veteran. I love my country, and I'll fight for my country. I'll stand for my country, and if my country calls upon me to do so, I will do so as a patriot and an American. Now, I understand your position, and I understand what the Founding Fathers' intent was, and I understand that we got away from the Constitution in a terrible way. We've gotten away from what is correct and morally right in this country. There's no question about it. The answer is not legislating more laws. The answer is not overthrowing governments. The answer is to bring men and women to Jesus Christ, because you can't legislate morals. We've taken the Bible out. England went down the tubes because they gave up the King James Version Bible. The United States of America in 1901 adopted that revised version of the Bible, and ever since then, this country's been on its way down. You cannot abandon the Word of God and not expect to go down. Do I agree with you, credit card? Do I use the system? Of course, I'm in it. If I'm going to say I cannot get part of the banking system because they're killing children and financing wars, and listen, General Motors, Chevrolet is financing China. They just had a commercial over there. They're not showing it here in the United States, but General Motors just supported the commercial, which supports the founding of the communist China and the revolutionists.
Well, okay. I'm not saying everyone out there, well, we're supposed to pick up a rifle and start a war. Of course, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that what I meant from the beginning was we as Christians should be more identified with what is happening around us in our society, and that the churches should be schooling their flock, their people in the church, and preparing them for what is happening and educating them as to what is happening. You don't hear that. You go walk into any church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night service or anywhere for that matter, and you don't hear anything to what's going on, to what's really happening. And if the churches, if the Christians were more active in their society every day, you know, you might see an awakening in this country. That's all I'm trying to say. And you know,
Brother, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying about Christians being actively involved. But first of all, we're in the Laodicean church period, and the Laodicean church period is a church period that makes God sick. It's a church period of lukewarmness, you see? And so Jesus Christ says he's at the door knocking. You know, people make a nice spiritual application of that, and they say, well, that door he's knocking on is your heart. Hey, listen, the door he's knocking on is the church door, and the reason why he's knocking on the door is because he's not even in the church. These people, you know what happened? Jesus Christ was with Mary and Joseph, and they were traveling away from Jerusalem, and 3 days later they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. He was in the temple, and when they get there, he's in the temple expounding the word of God, and Mary said, you know, where were you? And I'm paraphrasing. He said, wish ye not, but I must be about my Father's business. You know what happened? They were going along, and they thought they had Jesus with them. Well, that's what's going on in our churches today. These are people that are claiming to be Christians. These are people using the New Living Translations, the NIVs, and all these Bibles that have destroyed the Word of God. That's a ploy and a footprint of Satan in our society, in the world, to destroy the Word of God. And so it's in our churches, and it's destroying the churches from the inside out. And so the main problem, if you're talking about churches doing what's right, is most churches are too busy raising money and modernizing themselves into postmodern philosophies to bring people into their church. They've abandoned God, and they're running, and they think they have Jesus with them because they're prospering, because they've got numbers inside these churches. And so it all goes back to the Word of God. But the truth is this. We must be able to rightly divide the Word of God. If we cannot rightly divide the Word of God, and I know I've heard the whole same old song for years and years, C.I. Schofield started dispensationalists, and, you know, cut that out. J.N. Darby did before that, and before him you go back to Guthrie and those other guys in 1300s, 1200s, and all the way down. It's always been dispensations in the Bible. Paul says he came to preach the dispensation of grace. A dispensation is a pouring out of something. And in each dispensation, there's 7, 8 primary dispensations in the Bible. The dispensation of innocent is in the Garden of Eden. It ends with a judgment. They get thrown out. The dispensation of conscious is from the Garden of Eden, where they are thrown out, until the flood. You see? And then you go to human government, and you end up in the age of grace where we are now, and then you're going to have that tribulation. But each one of those dispensations ends up in a judgment. And the truth is, what we're seeing form has been forming. And this new world order, we all are up in arms saying there's a new world order, a new world order. There is a new world order. Listen, it's infiltrated our schools. It's infiltrated our children. It's indoctrinated us. People are indoctrinated from the first time they step into a school, a kindergarten, and on up.
Well, I like what you said earlier about the demonic forces that are taking shape. I mean, we just look at what's happening in society. People are acting crazy. I mean, just look at this individual that shot up the school up there in Newtown, Connecticut. Obviously, he was possessed by demonic forces. I mean, the most evil men. I mean, I've spoken and lived and partook and broke bread with evil men that were just hardened criminals, and you know that, Peter. And never would they kill a child, not let alone 20 plus children. So obviously there's demonic and something very evil that's happening in our country and in society. And we as Christians, I just believe, are neglecting our responsibility. And for us to sit here and pray and to ask God and to think that we're walking around as blessed men just because we're calling ourselves Christians, I believe is a farce, and that's not right. And to partake in the system Yes, we, like you said, you can't live your life every day. You stop at stop signs. You got to obey traffic laws. Yeah, but you got to draw the line. You have to use common sense. You know, obviously.
Well,
but if you,
I'm not disagreeing with you. But let me touch on two points, brother. When I was talking about that clay, that miry clay, that's in the ten toes. You know, verse 42 of Daniel 2 says, and as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And so we're talking, you know, when you find those angels came down in Genesis and they took the daughters of men and they produced that race of giants, they were the sons of God, and people say, oh, well, you know, they were just of Cain's seed. You know, Branahan taught that. And that's not true, because when you go to Job, it says it was a day when the sons of God came before the throne and Satan came with them. And another place it says, this, before the earth was created, the sons of God sang in heaven. It was heavenly music to glorify God. And those sons of God were those fallen angels that came down, and they took from themselves women, you know, an angel. People have this understanding. This is the problem. They're incorrectly taught. You cannot find an angel in the Bible who has wings. Every angel in the Bible is a man, and when he shows up, he appears as a man. And Satan is not an angel. He's a cherub. It's in Ezekiel. But people are taught these things because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what Hosea 4:6 says, because people didn't compare Scripture with Scripture and seek it out. And that's a demonic ploy. But I want you to understand that those were humanoids. That's really what that was. Those people were part demonic, and they mixed in a race and produced giants. The sons of God came down and took on women. Remember, Jesus said when the guy asked him, he said, you know, if this guy had a wife and his brother took it, and the next one took it, and the next brother, you know, whose wife is she in heaven? And Jesus said, you know, they don't marry in heaven. The angels, they're like the angels. They don't marry in heaven. But on earth, an angel always appears as a man. And, you know, when they went to Lot's house and they were trying to have sexual relations with him, and he sent his daughter out there, you know, so angels are capable of appearing as men. And so when we see this is very, you have to understand this is deep, because, and whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they are the same ones, the same entity, the same demonic forces. They are the them of Genesis 6:13, and they will intermingle with humans. And so this what you're seeing here, you know that what you're seeing is that demonic mixture coming about. Don't forget that Antichrist becomes a man. You know, the mystery of iniquity is Satan becoming a man. The mystery of godliness is Jesus Christ, God becoming flesh.
And that is exactly why it is so important. I know we couldn't talk about a lot of the aspects of the New World Order because, you know, time goes by very quick. But that is why we as Christians need to be aware of what is happening all around us. I'm not saying you have to wake up every day, there's a Sidco sign at the gas station there. That's a pyramid. That's the Illuminati. It's good that people are aware. All I'm saying is you should be aware. And like I was telling you about the conversation I had at the bank, all I'm trying to do is make a point that just as a Christian, I know that is wrong because I'm educated in those topics, the signs and symbols, and I don't want to do that.
Listen, we should wake up. But you know what? And I'm not disagreeing. Listen, I'm not going to build a fortress in my backyard to dig a pit. I'm not going to say anybody who does is doing something wrong. It's your property. But what I'm thinking is, I think that everybody should always be prepared in their homes for an emergency. And nobody knows. If the economy should tank out one more time, the whole country could be in chaos. Nobody knows that. And I think every home, listen, gun control to me, and I'm a gun advocate. I think we have a Second Amendment right for guns. Gun control to me means two hands on the gun. Okay, so I'm not, you know, I'm a good Baptist, and the Baptists have fought in civil wars, and the Baptists fought in the United States, and many Baptists are in the service, and we don't really, you know, we don't run tail. There's, you know, where I grew up, the only thing that was in the middle of the road was a yellow line. Okay, and so we're not. But what I'm saying, I agree with you. I think that, listen, you ought to have extra batteries. You ought to have some extra food in the house, and I think you should have gold and silver, some portion
of
gold and silver.
But according to your government, that's against the law. So you know, so you're actually a lawbreaker now. Believe it or not, it's against the law in some states to have a garden in your backyard. You know, so we as Christians, where do we draw the line? That's the question here, and that's the debate, and where I always get into. You know, where do you draw the line? You pick and choose what laws you want to follow as a Christian.
Well, here's one thing we all must understand: is that we are a nation of laws, and liberty gives you the right and freedom to break any law you choose, as long as you're willing to suffer the consequence for the law you break. And there's a misconception among some people in the country who call themselves patriots that tell people they have to break the law in order to fight the law, and that's not true. We have declaratory judgment.
Technically, Peter, if you really want to get the specifics, and this would take forever to really explain, we're really not under the Constitution anymore. It's been hijacked, like I said, and you really are a corporate entity. You are a slave to the system. And as a Christian, I find that appalling, that when I see an envelope come in my mailbox and my name is spelt in all large capital letters and they're calling me a corporation, and I'm a chattel for the Federal Reserve banking system, the money changers, I believe Jesus would be very angry and upset with me. Or when I stand in front of Jesus Christ, I believe I'm going to have a lot of answers. I'm going to have to answer to a lot of his questions. Why, as a Christian walking on this earth today in the year 2013, I partook in this type of system. And when I knew and I had knowledge of these types of things that are happening, I had knowledge of the Antichrist and the Antichrist system and his new world order, and I did nothing about it. That's what I tussle with every day.
Well, let's compare that, okay, with the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, and when Alexander the Great came across the East, and when Rome, and even the British Empire, who the sun never set on, it was so large. Those were in types, world orders. You see?
Yep.
And so we live under governments. In a society of law, if you choose to challenge the laws of the society, you can openly do it in our court system. Now, are some court systems corrupt? Hey, there's corruption everywhere. It's a world system. But I would rather see my brethren spending their time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to change your community. You want to change the laws in your country. You want to change the people. You have to change the hearts. Do you know, in you look over in the Middle East, do you know how cheap life is? Life is very cheap in the Middle East in some of those places. And it's wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is not preached, or wherever the Lord Jesus Christ is not loved, there's little regard for life. And we've allowed some things to happen in this country, but you know what? In the overall scheme, it's already been prophesied. The Jews submitted to the Babylonian Empire until when? Until Cyrus showed up, the Media-Persian Empire. 200 years before Cyrus was born, it was prophesied that a man named Cyrus would release them to go back to Jerusalem. But in the meantime, you know, it was either submit to the government or die. If you're an Islamist, true Islamic freedom is that you pay a poll tax if you don't want to be a believer, or you join and you become a believer, or you die. And so if you're born under those states, but once you know the truth, yeah, you should live for Jesus Christ. I agree. But I'll tell you what, I think that we need to continue as independent moral agents and as part of the body of Christ, the true believers. You know, there's a lot of people saying they're believers. You know, there's a lot of people that are hoodwinked. I'll tell you what, today I was on I'm in Imperial Beach, California, and I'll show you how funny the world is and religions are. This is the state of chaos among religious people, if you call them religion. You know, religion is man reaching out to God, not God reaching out to man. And I ran into a Christian scientist. And you know, and I haven't spent a lot of time talking to them lately. And it just happened to run into the fellow, and he started telling me how that the universe was 1 million years old and how he's under an oppressive spiritual system. And I said to him, let me ask you a question. I said, don't you know that the sun reduces itself by a certain percentage every year? If the earth was millions of years old and you reverse engineer the certain percentage that the earth, that the sun has been reduced, and you reverse engineer it and add that together, don't you know that the sun would be in the, that the earth would be sitting in the center of the sun? That you can't even live out what you've been told. You just believe what somebody told you. That's your authority. Your authority isn't God, it's a man. But as far as our government goes, brother, I think the state of affairs in the United States of America right now is sad. I think we have been weakened as a nation and as a people, and I'm sorry to see that. I think it's a great opportunity to have the gospel preached. I believe that before every major tragedy or every major war, World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Revolution, before all of them, there was a revival, a national revival throughout the country. God, because people are going to come out of the country in war. They're going to die. And God reached out. And so I'm not a fear-monger. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I get up every morning, and I praise the Lord, and I praise Him when I go to bed. And again, I certainly would like to see the country revert to some standards of morals that would be wonderful. But in prophetically, I don't see it. And prophetically, I'm sorry to say, I don't think you're going to see it. But I am a soldier, and I'm an ambassador, and you're an ambassador, and every Christian is an ambassador, and our country is in heaven, and we're ambassadors, and we represent that country in somebody else's country. And the country that we're in is the world, see? And Jesus Christ said in Corinthians that you and I are ambassadors for Christ. And so every country has ambassadors, and they send their ambassadors to other countries. And so recognizing that you're an ambassador, well, as an ambassador, you don't go to Russia, and you don't go to Rome, and you don't go change their countries as an ambassador. You go there and represent your country, and you're a sojourner in this world, and your country is a place called heaven, and you represent Jesus Christ and God every day. And you're a sojourner here, and you ought to represent them, and I ought to represent them, and every Christian ought to represent as an ambassador for Jesus Christ in a foreign country, because that's what we are. We're not part of this world order. We're just going through.
Well, I agree with you there, and we are ambassadors. However, if we're partaking in the system and helping this system grow, the evil Antichrist system, how, as Christians, are we ambassadors for Jesus Christ if we're helping the system, the evil New World Order and this Antichrist system participate in its growth around? I mean, how it just doesn't coincide biblically.
Well, brother, but you're talking about, and you've talked about a small aspect, a small portion of this thing. But do you want to, you know, to get to the reality, to escape all the corruption, you buy food, and food is an exchange of money. You buy commodities, and those commodities are backed by people in foreign countries and things that are illegal. You know, my friend said there's people that come from China here and come from China to the United States of America, and they go in a gift shop to bring something home to China, and they buy a gift, and they get home, and it has a little sticker on the bottom of it made in China. You know, people are delusional. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what portion of the system you're involved in. You're involved in some portion of this New World Order. And somebody who's involved with it, no matter what business it is. I don't care what it is. Yes, brother.
Hey, here's a verse for you, Philippians 4:22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Who is Caesar's household?
The government.
And who else?
Rome.
Servants, soldiers, right?
Right.
They divide the word of God, as I told you earlier. We don't have Caesar
that's
in this
Paul.
Country. We have the United States
that's
Constitution,
Paul.
And that's why our founding fathers bled the soil and many Christians fought for what we have, and now we've let it go because we've become complacent
in our everyday lives.
Brother, you're looking at the word Caesar too narrowly, divine. When Jesus said, whose inscription on it, and they said Caesar, what he meant is it's a government subscription. Yeah, it's a government mark.
That's right.
It's a government. Not just Caesar. He wasn't talking about just a man giving to nobody's walking up to Caesar's hand on the money. He's talking about that particular government system that was in control and authority at that particular time.
But Peter, my point is historical application of the scripture, Caesar, that's the Caesar at the time, right? And guess what? The servants and the soldiers and all of them were serving Caesar while they were serving the Lord. They weren't trying to overthrow the government that was then. I mean, that was a corrupt government, wasn't it? I mean, as far as I read in history, Roman government was pretty corrupt.
Well,
in fact, they put on religious garbs now, and they're still corrupt.
Well, you're taking it to the extreme, overthrow the government and things like that. What we're trying to say is if you're going to be a Christian and you're toting around a Bible in your right hand and you're walking around in a suit and tie and you're a Christian, are you really a Christian? Are you really a soldier of Christ participating in an antichrist system?
No, listen, our warfare is spiritual. It's not physical. It's a spiritual warfare. It's things that are in the spiritual realm. Not in the physical realm.
That's where our
warfare is. That's rightly dividing the word. That's Paul. Spiritual warfare. Not of flesh and blood. And the other thing is I remember the comment you made about, churches that aren't preparing. Of course they are. I've heard sermons about the end times. Paul talking about the great falling away. The teachings of that. Of course. He says to keep the look for the seasons. Times and the signs. I'm taught all of that stuff, but you know what? It only brings me back to one thing, the blessed hope, the second coming of Christ. And that's it. And that's what I'm looking for. And all these other things that are occurring, showing me his return is imminent and it's near. Who knows? Maybe near to the Lord is 1,000 years from now. I don't know.
Hey,
a lot of times better. But I know this. Is that that's what he told us to watch for. Watch for him coming back. You know, the Jews were told to watch his first coming, and they missed it. You know?
Yeah.
So, hey.
Well, we as Christians, are we going to miss his second coming?
No, absolutely not. We're going to be raptured right out of here. And then the revelation. That's how it's going to happen. And all the stuff that's going to happen here is going to occur, in the physical realm. And there's nothing we can do about that. There are lost people, there are saved people. And Satan's running rampant. And Satan's trying to take souls away from Jesus. And that's just the way it is. And to preoccupy ourselves with the physical realm is it's useless. Because God has a plan. Look at World War II. God wanted the Jews to go take the land. And they didn't want to go anywhere. They were complacent and compliant. And then all of a sudden, the Holocaust. They went to the land then. All throughout history, you can see all these persecutions, tribulations, and everything was to get man's heart right with God. And that's why he puts us through tribulations sometimes. Paul calls it chastening. No, tribulations.
We got to wrap this up, Brother Ray. I appreciate your wisdom. Joseph, this is a deep and far wide subject, and I want to clarify my position and Brother Raymond's is that we're pre-tribulation. We don't believe in Christians going through the trib. I think that you said a lot of things that need to be thought about, and I know you love your country too, Joseph. I don't think for one second that your heart is wrong about that. And also Brother Raymond's a patriot. I want to thank the listeners that listened tonight, and we thank you, Brother Joseph, for coming on, and sometime in the near future we'll get together and we'll pick on the world order in a different direction. I don't mean pick on it, but I mean pick at it. We took a small piece tonight, and I do have some questions, and they take some time for you to answer, and so... but I want to thank you for being patient with us. And Brother Raymond, I want to thank you for your wisdom as always. And, Joseph, you have a good night, and the Lord bless you. And, Brother Nathan, we want to thank you for all the hard work you do. I want to thank those people that have prayed for this program and those who are excited to hear this program. If we've disappointed you in any way, we're just, you know, you only have so much time to cover. And, you know, the principality and the power of the air, he's always in the way. Radio programming here, this is live, and we've had some trouble getting in, and we've had some trouble getting people connected tonight. And so please don't be discouraged if you've tuned in late. You can get this on archive, and Brother Raymond and I, you can go over to, you can email us, you can call us, call the station. There's a blog on the station there, gives you the information you need, or you can text us at 203-240-0377. Be glad to take you. My email is ventura.peter77@gmail.com. So I'll pray us out, and we'll go. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here tonight and to expound. We thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge. We ask you to bless the listeners, Lord, and to guide them, and our guest, Brother Raymond. And we ask you that you bless Marilyn, Lord, who works very hard for not only in prayer for the saints, but she's my wife, Lord, and I thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
My heart's testing with your love.